If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to invite you to join me in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. If you're wondering where that's at, go to the end of your Bible and work your way back to the left. Eventually, you will run into the book of Colossians. We're going to look at verses 2, 1 through 7 this morning. Colossians chapter 2, 1 through 7. In the early 1900s, there was a hymn written called, "It is Glory Just to Walk with Him." It is glory just to walk with Him. And verse 1 of that hymn reads like this. "It is glory just to walk with Him, whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel Him near, where my path may be. Bless the Lord, it's glory all the way. It's glory just to walk with Him. It is glory just to walk with Him. He will guide my steps aright. And through the veil and o'er the height, it is glory just to walk with Him." And this is the main point of this entire section of Scripture that we're going to look at today. And ultimately, it's really the main point of the book of Colossians, that believers would continue to walk in Christ after trusting in Him for salvation. One could even say that verse 6 sums up the entire book of Colossians, where Paul says in verse 6, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." And in today's text, we see Paul's pastoral desire for the people of Colossae. We see his heart today. We see Paul's pastoral desire for these people whom he was writing to. And by God's providence, I do not know if there is a better passage of Scripture for me to be able to share with you today, this final Sunday with you. And I'll admit this morning that I am not the Apostle Paul. I am not the Apostle Paul, but his pastoral desire for the people of Colossae, it really does sum up my pastoral desire for you as well, Lake Center Baptist Church. Let's look at this text again. Look at verse 1 with me. Paul says to these people, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle." And that word struggle, it's an important word. As a matter of fact, it's a powerful word. It's the key word of this verse. He says, "I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and also for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face." And this word struggle that Paul uses here, it's the idea of this internal agonizing. It's an internal conflict. It's internal striving. You see, Paul felt a great responsibility for the church, but he also felt a great responsibility for the church at large. Here, even mentioning his concern for the church that was just north of the people of Colossae in Laodicea, he says to the church in Corinth, "Apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches." Again, Paul felt this great internal desire for the church at large. And specifically for the church at Colossae, Paul was concerned with the false teachers who had risen up among them. You see, he did not want the people of Colossae to stray from what they had been taught about Christ. He desired for them. He wanted them to continue to grow in their walk with Christ. He wanted them to continue to grow in maturity. You see, the book of Colossae, it's a very Christ-centered letter. And it begs this question this morning, why? Why is the book of Colossae such a Christ-centered letter? And here is the answer. Because Paul's concern is that these people would not stray from Christ. He really wanted them to know that Christ was supreme. He really wanted them to know that Christ was sufficient for everything that they could ever long for. He wanted them to know that Christ was above all. And I want you to know, church family, Lake Center Baptist Church, that for the past 5.5 years, that Brittany and I too have had this internal struggle for you, this internal agonizing for you, but in a good way. Why? Because we love you. Because we love you. And we will continue to love you. And even though we will not be here physically, we will continue to agonize internally for you. We will continue to struggle for you, continuing to think about you, continuing to praise God for the time that we had, praying for you, praying that you would continue to grow in the things of God, praying that you would continue as you are today to follow Christ, praying that you would continue to know that Christ is supreme and that Christ is enough for you, that Christ is sufficient for you. Next, in this passage of Scripture, we see Paul's pastoral desire for the Colossians was for their encouragement. It was for their encouragement. Look at the beginning of verse 2 again with me. He says, that their hearts may be encouraged. Encouraged. And we need to understand this morning that this word encouraged, it's not simply just the idea of being happy or being glad. This word encouraged, it is it's a deep-seated encouragement. It's a deep-rooted encouragement of the heart that is not contingent on the situation that one is in. One theologian says that it is an encouragement that touches the deepest part of one's being, which affects every aspect of our persons. And it begs this question, where does this type of deep-rooted or deep-seated encouragement come from that Paul was talking about this morning? Let us be reminded this morning that this type of deep-seated encouragement that is not contingent on our situation, it comes from Christ alone. Hear that today, that this type of deep-seated encouragement that is not based on our situation, it comes from Christ alone. This is why the book of Colossians is so Christ-centered. It's why Paul proclaims things like this, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Therefore, knowing about these great truths about Christ, is there any greater encouragement of heart than knowing that Christ is above all and that Christ has all authority? You see, church family, this truth that Christ is above all, that Christ has all authority, this should bring us great encouragement today. And it is my prayer for all of us in this place today that we would continue to walk in this deep-seated encouragement of heart that comes from Christ, an encouragement that is not based on what you're facing, an encouragement that is not based on your situation. Rather, it is an encouragement of heart that is based on Christ's authority, an encouragement of heart that is based on Christ's goodness, an encouragement of heart that is based on Christ's supremacy, an encouragement of heart that is based on Christ's sovereignty. Again, the greatest encouragement that you and I could have is an encouragement that comes from a deep-seated trust in Christ despite our situation, despite what we're facing, despite what we are going through. Next, Paul's pastoral desire for the Colossians was that they would remain unified by love. That they would remain unified by love. He says in the rest of verse 2, he says, being knit together in love. And being unified by a love for one another was something that the people of Colossae, they already had this. Okay? They already had this going on in the life of the church. I mean, Paul speaks about their love several times. Even in chapter 1, Paul said things like this, "For since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of the saints. So right out of the gate, as he is writing to them, he's writing about their love for one another. They already had this love. When Epaphras went to Paul to tell Paul about the Colossian believers, Epaphras even spoke about their love for one another to Paul. In verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." And notice what Paul says, "He has made known to us your love in the Spirit." So Paul is not the one who started this church. It was Epaphras. And Epaphras is traveling to Paul. Paul is more than likely writing from a jail cell. And what does he tell Paul as he arrives to find Paul, as he arrives to meet Paul? What's Epaphras talking about? He's talking about their love for one another. They already had a love for one another. And Paul was simply encouraging them to continue. He's saying continue being knitted together by love. Continue being unified by a love for one another. What I'm getting ready to say, I think every single one of you in this place, you know this, but Lake Center Baptist Church is a church that is rooted, that is grounded in a love for one another. As a matter of fact, my family, I don't think there's been a Sunday or even a Wednesday where I've not gotten a hug from somebody. My family has felt nothing but affection and love during our tenure here. And what Paul said to the church at Colossae is something that I would simply just encourage you in, because you already have love. Before I even arrived at this place several years ago, people were telling me, even from the outside, that church is a church that knows how to love. They love each other. They love people. They will love you, Pastor. So my simple encouragement for you this morning is this: remain in that love. Keep doing what you're doing. Continue in that love. Continue loving one another. Continue loving those who will walk through your doors in the days to come. Continue being knit together by love. Continue being unified by the love that you already have in this place. As we say in our new members class, in essential beliefs, we're going to have unity. In non-essential beliefs, we're going to have liberty. But in all of our beliefs, we're going to show charity and love. And let's be reminded this morning where this love that we have for one another comes from. Again, it comes from Christ. You see, church family, you and I cannot love anyone apart from Jesus Christ. His indwelt Spirit gives us the power to love each other as Christ loves us freely. Let's continue to remain in that love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Who's he talking to there? He's talking to believers. Talking to you and I. He's talking to the church. The world will know that you're a believer, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ by how you love your fellow brother and sister in Christ. Church family, remain in that love. Continue being knitted together by that amazing love. Next, Paul's pastoral desire for the Colossians was that they would know the mystery of God, Jesus Christ. That they would truly know the mystery of God, which was Jesus Christ. He says, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And we spoke about the mystery of God last week, and it begs this question: what is the mystery of God that has been revealed to you and I? The mystery of God that has been revealed to you and I, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Again, I want to read a verse that we've already read. He says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, church family, the riches of the glory of God that have been given to every believer is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then in verse 3, he says, it's about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's talking about our Savior. That's talking about Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I love what one theologian writes. He says, this verse, verse 3, he says, is the Christological high point of the letter. It expresses beautifully and compactly the cutting edge Christological point that Paul's driving concern. Christ is the one in whom is to be found all that one needs in order to understand spiritual reality and a life, and to lead a life pleasing to God. You see, church family, anything that you could need, anything that you could ever need, is all found wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. It's all wrapped up in Christ. Wisdom, he's saying. Knowledge, the greatest treasure that you could ever find, is Christ alone. He's the bread of life. He is living water. So today, are you searching for something? Are you searching for something to fulfill a void in your life? Are you longing for something and you've tried everything else? What I would say to you, what Paul would say to you is this: come to Christ, the greatest treasure, as verse 3 says, the world has ever known. If you've been far from Christ, chasing the trinkets of the world, come back to Christ. All you could ever need is found in Christ alone. His arms are open wide for you today. And whenever you are tempted to chase the trinkets of the world, remember that all you could ever need is found in Christ alone. Remain in Christ. Next, we see Paul's pastoral desire for the Colossians was that they would not be led astray. That they would not be led astray. Look at verse 4. He says, I say all of this. Remember, he's talking about Christ. I say all of this that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Again, why does Paul talk so much about Christ in this letter to the Colossian believers? He talks so much about Christ to elevate Christ, to show these people, to show you and I that the deceitful arguments from the false teachers do not compare with the person of Christ. Paul is essentially saying, do not pay attention to their false arguments. We could say it like this today. Do not pay attention to the deceit of the world. Do not pay attention to what the culture is saying. Paul is saying this: focus on Christ, that you may not be led astray. Paul uses an interesting term here. It's the word delude. He says, I say this that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. And this word delude that Paul uses here in this verse, it's the idea of being deceived. He's saying, do not be deceived by what the false teachers are saying. Again, we could say it like this. Do not be deceived by what the culture is saying about you. Fill in the blank. He's saying, focus on Christ. And this idea this morning, it has great implication for you and I based on the culture that we are living in today. Paul's saying, do not be deluded. Do not be deceived. Who is the great deceiver today? It is Satan. He's sneaky. He's tricky. He has a good understanding of what he's trying to do, of what he is doing. Paul's saying, do not be deceived. You see, church family, our world has been so deceived. So deceived by the deceiver. Have you noticed? You just look out in the world, and I'm not just bashing our world today. It's not what I'm trying to do here. But you just take a scan and look at our world and just the different beliefs and things that are going on in our world. Our world's just confused, right? Why is the world confused? Because they've been deceived by the enemy. Our world is confused today about gender, sexuality, marriage, abortion. Who's the author of all of this? Who is the author of deceit? Who is the author of delusion? It's Satan. And what Paul is saying in this letter. This is who Christ is. Don't focus on the culture. Don't focus on what the world is saying. Don't even give in to those arguments, he's saying. He's saying focus on Christ, on his supremacy, on his superiority, on his sovereignty. Focus on Christ. Focus on his word. You want wisdom today? You want the correct wisdom? Paul says all the treasures and wisdom that you could ever need are found wrapped up in Christ. Not the world, but in Christ. Don't listen to the culture, he's saying. Listen to Christ. Focus on Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't be deluded here. Focus on what God says and stand in that. Next, Paul, he rejoiced as he was telling them to not be deluded by false arguments. He rejoiced in their continued faith. He rejoiced in their continued faith. I love what he says here. He says, "For though I am absent in body, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So Paul's saying, I'm not with you. Whenever he was writing this letter, more than likely he's writing from a jail cell and he was unable to go to the Colossian church. And from a distance, as he is hearing about their good faith from Epaphras, he says, "I am rejoicing in that. I'm rejoicing in your good order. I'm rejoicing in your firmness of faith." And both of these terms that Paul uses here, he uses two terms. He uses the term good order, and he also uses the term firmness of faith. And both of these terms are military terms. In this verse that I just read, it's the idea of being disciplined and being firm in one's faith. Essentially, Paul was rejoicing in their firm faith in the midst of false teaching and heresy. In Lake Center Baptist Church, moving forward, even though Brittany and I will be absent from you in body, we will still be with you in spirit, cheering you on, rejoicing in your continued strong faith, rejoicing in your continued firmness of your faith in Christ. Remain in that. Remain in that. Next, Paul's pastoral desire was that the Colossian believers would continue to walk in Christ. That they would continue to walk in Christ. And if there is ever a verse that you want to memorize or underline in your Bible or print off and put it on your refrigerator or put it on a post-it note and put it on the dashboard in your car, I think it's this verse. It's this verse. Paul says in verse 6, therefore, and that's an important term, we'll get back to that in a second, but he says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him." And theologians say that this verse is really the heartbeat of the book of Colossians. That therefore in this verse, it points us back to everything that we have learned and read thus far in this book. He says, "Therefore, because," again, pointing back to all that we've read and learned, "therefore, because Christ is supreme." Remember that? Because Christ is sufficient. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Because Jesus is highest in rank. "Therefore, because everything was created by Christ and everything is subject to Christ, and it all will give glory to Christ. Therefore, because Christ existed before creation itself, and he is the one who holds everything together, including the universe. Therefore, because Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, because Christ sustains his church. Therefore, because Christ is preeminent over death. Therefore, because Christ is going to bring peace to everything. Therefore, because of what Christ has done, believers are now holy, blameless, and above reproach in God." He's saying, "Therefore, because you have love for one another. Therefore, because you are standing firm in your faith. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." In other words, he's saying, because of all these things, because of what Christ has done, because of who Christ is, he's saying essentially, don't give up. Don't stop seeking after Jesus. Don't give in to the temptation of the world. Don't give in to the culture. Let Christ guide your thinking. Let Christ guide your conduct. Let Christ establish your values. He is essentially saying, keep walking with Jesus. And I would say the exact same thing to you. Keep seeking Jesus. Don't stop it. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. All that you could ever need, all that you could ever find, it's all wrapped up in the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ himself. I want to read what Charles Spurgeon said about just this single verse. It's quite lengthy, but I just think it's so good. Listen to what he says. He says, if we have received Christ himself in our inmost hearts, our new life will manifest its intimate acquaintance with him by a walk of faith in him. Walking implies action. Our religion is not to be confined to our closet. We must carry it out into practical effect, that which we believe. If a man walks in Christ, then he so acts as Christ would act. For Christ being in him, his hope, his love, his joy, his life, he is the reflex of the image of Jesus. And men say of that man, he is like his master. He lives like Jesus Christ. Walking signifies progress. So ye walk in him. Proceed from grace to grace. Run forward until you reach the uttermost degree of knowledge that a man can attain concerning our beloved. Walking implies continuance. There must be a perpetual abiding in Christ. How many Christians think that in the morning and evening they ought to come into the company of Jesus and may then give their hearts to the world all the day? But this is poor living. We should always be with him, treading in his steps and doing his will. Walking also implies habit. When we speak of a man's walk in conversation, we mean his habits, the constant tenor of his life. Now, if we sometimes enjoy Christ and then forget him, sometimes call him ours, and anon lose our hold, that is not a habit. We do not walk in him. We must keep to him, cling to him, never let him go, but live and have our being in him. As ye have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in him. Persevere in the same way in which ye have begun, and as at the first, Christ Jesus was the trust of your faith, the source of your life, the principle of your action, and the joy of your spirit, so let him be the same till life's end. The same when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and enter into the joy and the rest which remain for the people of God. O Holy Spirit, enable us to obey this heavenly precept. Don't stop walking with Christ, is what he's saying. Finishing up, so Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, look at verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in him. This word rooted that is used here, it's a horticulture term. This term built up that is used here, it's a construction term. And Paul is essentially saying, this is how you continue to walk in Christ, by being rooted in Christ, but also by being built up in Christ. And it begs this question, how does one stay rooted and built up in Christ? Here's how, by staying close to the vine, by staying close to Christ. Jesus himself said, abide in me. That word abide, it simply means to stay with. It simply means to remain in. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Notice what he says, for apart from me you can do nothing. You want to stay rooted in Christ? You want to stay built up in Christ? How do you do it? You have to stay connected to the vine. You have to stay connected to Christ. How do we do this? How do we abide in Christ? Well, we do as Paul says, we follow him, even if it's difficult, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it goes against our flesh or the culture, we follow Christ, we read his word. Every single day we get his precepts into our heart and into our lives. This keeps us centered on the things of God. It keeps us centered on Christ. We obey his word, even if it's difficult and goes against my flesh. And I'm just telling you, it is difficult and it will go against your flesh. You read his word, you obey his word, you follow him. You do like you're doing today. You want to remain in Christ and be rooted in Christ and established in Christ. Make worship like you're doing today. the top priority in your life. Center your lives around being able to go and to worship with other believers. Do life with other believers. Why? Because this encourages us in our faith to continue being rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. And then notice what he says. Rooted and built up in him. And then he says, and established in the faith. This is what all Christians should long for. To be rooted and built up in Christ and established in their faith. You see, when you walk with Christ and stay rooted in Christ and built up in Christ, Paul is saying that God will establish your faith. You will be grounded in your faith. Not giving in to the trinkets of this world or the false teachings of the culture and all those things. Paul is saying whenever you are rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, when you're walking in Christ, you will be established in your faith. Remain in that. Then he says in his closing words, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul is saying in all these things, as you continue to walk with Christ, continue to have a heart that is thankful. A heart that is thankful. It's so easy to find the things that are going on in our lives or even in the world and to not be grateful for what God has done. Paul's saying just remain thankful for who Christ is, for what Christ has done. This idea of thanksgiving, it's a major theme for the church at Colossae. Colossians 1:12 speaks to this as well. And Paul is essentially saying, in whatever situation you find yourself in, give thanks to God. He's in control. He is supreme. He is sovereign. He also said this to the church at Thessalonica. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. In the good. In the just the mundane times of life when it's nothing's really going on. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just kind of, you know, blah. In loss and heartache and all these things, Paul's saying, give thanks. In Lake Center Baptist Church, if I could leave you with one word of encouragement this morning, it would be the exact same encouragement that we find in this beautiful passage of Scripture. It would be this. As you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to walk in Him. Don't stop. He's worth it. He's worthy. Keep praying. Keep loving each other. Keep serving the purposes of God. Keep giving financially to His purposes. Keep inviting. Keep going. Keep sharing. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him. In closing, I don't think there's better words to say to you than what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. Why? Because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and to the glory and praise of God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in this place today. As we spoke about several times, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never done that. You've never received Christ Jesus as Lord. What does that mean? Why do we do that? Why should we do that? Well, quickly, I want to speak to you if you never have done that. The Bible says this, that we all have sin in our life. What is sin? It's just those mistakes we've made, those wrong things we've done. The Bible says that not one person is without sin, including myself. Only Jesus was without sin. Only Jesus lived a perfect life. And the Bible says that our sin, one sin, is enough to separate us from God for all of eternity. In other words, you and I cannot get to God on our own. You can't be good enough. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. But it's only through Christ. And this morning, you can have your sin forgiven and have direct access to God in heaven. Therefore, you have hope for today. Christ's Spirit, the Bible tells us, will come to dwell inside of you. And if you were to pass away and will pass away one day, the Bible says that you will be with God in paradise. But it's only through Christ. It's only through trusting in Him, His finished work on the cross. It's only by bowing your life to His Lordship. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, it means that Jesus is boss. He is King. He is leader. He is guide. He's not just sitting beside you. No, He's leading the way of your life. And maybe you've never trusted in Him as Lord and Savior. You can do that today. Maybe you feel this longing on your heart to place your faith in Jesus. You can do that right from where you're seated. And you can pray a prayer like this in your heart to God today. God, you can say this, God, I confess this morning that I need Jesus. This morning I believe in Jesus. I place my trust and my faith in Jesus. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I confess that Jesus is Lord. And God, I commit my life to follow You from this point forward, to walk in You. And if you say that to God today, the Bible makes it very clear that you are a Christian. What's the next step? Well, the next step for you is to walk in Him. That means to do all the things that we've said, to follow Him, to trust Him, to love Him, to seek Him, to read His Word, to worship, to serve. It's to be a Christian. And if you said that to God today and you've never been scripturally baptized and you're listening to this message this morning, but if you said that to God today, the next step for you is baptism. Just like you saw Casey do a few moments ago, he trusted in Christ to be his Lord and Savior. And baptism is how Christians show the world that they are walking with Jesus, that they are all in with Jesus. That's the next step for you. So would you let somebody know? If you trusted in Christ as Lord today, would you let us know by tearing off that information slip in your bulletin and placing it in the offering plate as you leave today? Or just simply tell somebody, and we want to lead you and guide you and celebrate with you in the days to come. God, we thank You so much for who Christ is. That He is supreme. He is sufficient. He is worthy of total and full devotion. Therefore, Father, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, God, give us the strength, moment by moment, day by day, to simply walk with Jesus, to remain with Jesus, to be rooted and built up in Jesus. And Father, when we fall, God, help us to confess our mess ups to You. God, knowing full well that You're right there with arms open wide to pick us back up, helping us to continue to walk in Jesus. Jesus is worth it. We love You, God. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet as we sing a song of worship about our Savior, about our Jesus.